Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 16 and verse 11. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, please put a hand in the air and there are some people poised to bring you one. Acts chapter 16, which you'll find on page 1112 of the church Bibles. Just to fill you in where we're at on a Sunday night, first of all, we're looking at stories from this book of the Bible called Acts, where individuals become Christians, and looking at the way that's described. So we've been learning from that together. And then just to set the scene a little bit for the story we've got tonight, there's a man called Paul, who many of you will have heard of, and he's got a group of traveling companions, and they're on a journey, and very specifically, Jesus has just told them that they are to go to a place called Macedonia, kind of modern-day Europe. And this is the first time that their gospel travels into Europe. So let's pick up the story at Acts chapter 16 and verse 11. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is God's word to us this evening. It would be helpful to me if you had your Bibles open again at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, which you'll find on page 1112, if you've shut your Bibles. And with that open in front of us, let's bow our heads and let's seek God's help as we come to his words. Our Father in heaven, your word says that as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and make it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so your word goes out from your mouth and does not return to you empty, but will accomplish everything that you purpose it to do. And we simply ask that as we hear your word tonight, that it would do just that. And we ask it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I was preparing for tonight and procrastinating, as I normally do, this image caught my attention on the BBC News website. If you can't see it very clearly, it's the picture of a front door that has been bricked up. It's well and truly closed. Now, I think the story was there because on a wedding day in 1988, some best man had bricked up his groom's best door so that he couldn't get back in after the honeymoon. And I think it reappeared in the paper simply because he'd done the same thing on some anniversary. But it's a very powerful picture, actually, and this is why it caught my attention as I prepped this week, because actually where there should be an open door, where there should be a means of getting in, it's well and truly closed. It's properly shut, it's bricked up so that you can't get in. There's no way in. And it caught my attention because actually this is often how I feel when I'm seeking to share the good news of Jesus with other people. Have you ever had that experience? Where actually you could be standing talking to a brick wall. You could be standing talking to somewhere where you expect there to be an entrance, where you expect something to be open, but you find that it's closed. It's shut. It's bricked up. Nothing you say seems to make sense to the person. Nothing you say seems to be connecting with them. There's just kind of a brick wall. You feel like your words are just bouncing off this wall and going away and disappearing. Let me just share one very personal experience. I had a friend, and we used to, a long time ago actually, we used to run together in the morning. And we used to run and run and run. And he would ask all the questions in the world about Jesus, about the Bible. And I would try my best to answer them. And I'd try and share the gospel with him. And time and time again, in fact, it got to the point with him where I just ran out of words. I had nothing else to say because it felt like everything I said was just hitting a brick wall. And in the end, I said to him, I can't say anything else. I've got nothing left to say. Or perhaps you can identify with that personally. Perhaps you can think of a time in your past where somebody was sharing the gospel of Jesus with you and it just felt like it was hitting a brick wall in you. Didn't make sense. You couldn't be bothered with it. You didn't understand what all these people were making a big fuss about. Or maybe you're here this evening and you feel like the closed up front door. You hear, you've been coming to church. Perhaps you're a teenager and you've grown up in the church and you've heard the gospel over and over again, but you just don't see what the fuss is about. You feel like a closed brick wall. The words are there, they're coming, but there's no way in. It's closed up. Now, why is it? Why does it feel like that when we share the gospel with people? Why does it feel like that perhaps in our own life? Well, the answer is found in this story that we have in front of us this evening. Because this story shows us something about our hearts. It shows us that our hearts, that's the bit of us that makes up the real you. That's the bit that makes you tick. It's the bit that kind of makes decisions and choices. It's the real you. The heart is like a bricked up front door. When it comes to the message of Jesus, we are well and truly closed to that message. And the only way that the message, the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of his death and resurrection to forgive sinners like us, the only way that that will get in, that will make any difference, that we'll believe that message, is if the Lord Jesus comes along and deconstructs that brick wall and opens the door and lets the message in. Have a look with me at verse 14. In verse 14, we read this: one of those listening, and we'll come back to what she was listening to in a moment, but one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. This story that we have in front of us this evening is a story of this lady called Lydia. And Lydia is becoming a Christian. That's what's going on in this story. And how is it described? It's described as the Lord opening her heart. Did you see that in verse 14? The Lord opened her heart. She starts the story with a closed heart, closed to the message, a bricked up front door. But she finishes the story with a heart that's open, a heart that believes the message of Jesus. And very simply, I want to put a statement up on the screen, but I think this is the story as a whole is teaching us. It's teaching us that becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus to open closed hearts to respond to the gospel. That's what's going on with this lady, Lydia. The Lord Jesus opens her heart to believe a message that before she couldn't. And what I want to do this evening is just work through this story. And it's a story where we learn some things about the heart-opening work of Jesus. I don't know about you, but there are lots of people that I would love to see a Lydia-type experience happen. And so what I want to do is stand back from this story and just have a look at how Jesus works to bring about the opening of hearts. What does this story teach us about his work in getting into the lives of people like Lydia and opening their hearts? And the first thing I want us to see is this. Jesus uses those with open hearts to speak to those with closed hearts. Or to put it another way, those with open hearts should be those with open mouths to talk to those who don't know Jesus. we tend to talk about things that we are excited about, don't we? We tend to talk about the things that grab our heart, whether that's your favourite sports team or whether that's your kids, if you've got them, or something like that. We tend to talk about the things that have got hold of our hearts. So my Jessie down here is 5 years old, and it was her birthday this week. And we knew it was her birthday long before anybody else, because every half an hour for about 3 months, she reminded us that it was her fifth birthday this week. Why? Because her heart was gripped with it. She was excited about it. She was excited about the present. She's been planning her party for about 3 months. She was excited. She was gripped. Her heart was kind of beating with the beat of her birthday. It was gripped. And because she was gripped, it's all she could talk about. Her mouth was open because her heart was open to this birthday idea. Do you see the link? It's true, isn't it? We talk about the things that matter to us. Now, they may be momentary, but when something's got your heart, you talk about it. And the same is true when Jesus opens our hearts to be one of his followers, to believe the message. When he opens our hearts, he opens our mouths to speak about him. See, have a look at the story. The story opens with this group, mentioned in verse 11 there, that from Troas we put out to sail. Now that group is really headed up by a man named Paul. And Paul, yes, he's an apostle, so he has a very special role, but actually he's just a believer. He is someone who the Lord, our Lord Jesus, opened the heart of, so that he might believe the message of Jesus too. So Paul, if you scan back just seven chapters, is a man with a very closed heart to the message of Jesus. Saul as he was then, and he's Paul here, Paul was someone who was completely anti those who spoke the message of Jesus. He was violent towards them. And although it's not described in this language, what happens to Paul is that his heart was closed and then the Lord Jesus opened it to believe the message. And as he opens Paul's mouth, he then opens his mouth so that he goes off and he starts speaking about Jesus to others. And that's how this story works. We find him deliberately traveling around because Jesus has told him to head to this area of Macedonia to open his mouth to speak to people with closed hearts about the Lord Jesus. What is it that leads up to Lydia's conversion, as it were, to her becoming a Christian? What leads up to it is that Jesus puts someone whose heart he's already opened next to someone whose heart he wants to open. He puts someone whose heart's opened and he opens their mouth and they start speaking. It's what we've seen over and over again, isn't it, in the book of Acts? If you've been with us on this Sunday evening, Johnny and I were just talking about it this week. But how, we hadn't spotted it before, but there's this sovereignty of Jesus in bringing people together, people whose hearts and mouths are open with those who aren't, and he just keeps bringing people together so that the gospel is heard and the gospel is believed. The bit we didn't read tonight, but the bit just before, shows how deliberately Jesus is directing Paul to meet Lydia. It's a very obvious detail in the section just before. And Paul is very deliberate. Look at his journey. He journeys into this place called Philippi in verse 12. He goes to the city. He stays there several days. And in verse 13, he is looking for people to speak to about Jesus. He is deliberate in what he's doing. And that's something that I want to suggest is right for us to be. It's right for us to be deliberate. If the Lord Jesus has opened our hearts, as a church, we should be deliberate in looking for people who we can speak to about the Lord Jesus. We do that perhaps in some different ways, don't we? We can do that as we head out into the towns once a month to speak about Jesus. We can do that perhaps in other ways. We've got the town show again coming up in September. It's going out, as it were, speaking to strangers, trusting that the Lord Jesus is the one who takes people whose hearts are open. He opens their mouths so that they can then speak to people with closed hearts. And one of the things that's encouraged me about doing that in Enfield this week is that Philippi sounds remarkably like Enfield. Now you may just have to bear with me for a second, okay? But let me show you what I mean. First of all, it's very hard in this city for Paul to find the God-seekers. You see, he goes to this city, and his habit, if you've read through the book of Acts, you'll know this, his habit is to go to the synagogue first. He looks for the kind of the God-worshippers, the God-seekers, and he doesn't find the synagogue. It's a city that seems to be godless, a bit like Enfield. And so he goes into this city, and you'd think, well, maybe that would put him off. Maybe he'd think, well, perhaps I can't do the job here. But he doesn't. He keeps looking. So it's like Enfield, like the people we mix shoulders with. Doesn't your feel of the people you mix with, the places you go, isn't it, that there aren't many people who want to know anything about God? Ladies, forgive me for a moment, but the second thing that reminds me of Enfield is, where are the men? Where are the men in this story? He goes out to a place of prayer, and there's just women sitting there. Where are the blokes? Where are the guys who are interested in God? And isn't that true? My experience, as I've mixed with some of the guys at Enfield, the dads from the school, is that there's just no caring guys for anything to do with God. And most of the God stuff seems to happen outside the city. You see that? Where does he have to go? He has to leave the city to find the people who are doing God things. And okay, I may be pushing the passage too far here, but I think it reminds me of Enfield because people want you to do your religious stuff in a corner. They want to push you outside the city, and they say, well, you go and do your God stuff away from us. Don't affect the public life of our city. You just go and do your thing. And I was encouraged by that as I read this, that Paul, even though this is a city that doesn't seem to have any interest at all in the message that he's got to say, he still deliberately goes and talks. And he won't rest until he's talked to someone about Jesus. And I wanted to say we can take encouragement from that. We can take encouragement to those who can be deliberate in our town, which is, okay, isn't Philippi, but it is Enfield. And we can be deliberate in going to speak to people about Jesus, trusting that the way he brings about this kind of opening of hearts is as people whose hearts he's already opened open their mouths to speak about Jesus. But maybe some of you are thinking, oh no, I really couldn't go and speak to strangers about it. But then the same is true in being deliberate for those that we've been put amongst already. You don't have to go and have conversations with strangers. What about your friends? What about the person who you see every week who serves you in the co-op or in the shop that you go to? There are people that we mix with all the time who are not strangers, friends, family, the people we rub shoulders with. We've got to be deliberate, trusting that Lydia moments happen when we open our mouths to speak. Jesus uses those with open hearts to speak to those with closed hearts. The heart-opening story of Lydia, as with lots of conversion stories, begin with that process of Jesus opening somebody else's heart and then opening their mouth. There are thousands, hundreds, millions of Lydia stories which begin there, with someone opening their mouth to tell them about the Lord Jesus. And I very simply want to ask, are we those who are opening our mouths? Will we be those who open our mouths this week to speak about Jesus to those with closed hearts? So there's the first thing this story teaches us. The second is this: Jesus alone can open hearts to believe. Now, I know I've already said that, but let me explain what I mean in the story. Have a look with me at verse 14 again. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart. To get around this building, we have a very complicated set of keys. And I'm just trying to find mine. Here's my... Oh, no, that's my house keys. I don't want those ones. Here we go. In fact, I've lost my keys. That's a bit worrying, isn't it? Sorry, Steve. I've picked up my shed keys. Well, that's a good sign. I'm glad I've realised I've lost them. So I definitely can't get around this building now. But to get around this building, there is a very complicated set of keys, as well rehearsed and practised. And basically, there's kind of lots of zones in this building. And if you hit certain doors and you haven't got the key on your key ring, you just can't get in, okay? So some cupboards have got chemical stuff in, and I haven't got a key to that because they know how dangerous I am and all that kind of stuff. So, but if there's a closed door, you can't get in unless you've got a key. And what we're being told in this story is that the closed door of your heart is something that only Jesus has the key for. He's the only one who can deconstruct the wall. He's the only one who can break it down and open the door and unlock it and let the message in so that we believe. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. The verse does not read like this. It doesn't say, Paul put on this amazing PowerPoint presentation and drew the gospel in 6 pictures, and Lydia was just blown away by Paul's presentation. He had it absolutely nailed. They were the best 6 pictures you've seen in your life. And so, Lydia's heart was opened. It doesn't say that. It says the Lord opened her heart. Neither does it say, Lydia weighed it all up. She thought, well, yeah, this makes sense. This seems really good. I think I will choose. And so Lydia's heart was opened. No, it doesn't say that. It says the Lord Jesus, opened Lydia's heart. What does that mean? What does it mean that he opened her heart? It's a shorthand way of saying that he opened her heart to believe a message that before she didn't. We're not told specifically what it is that she did when she responded, but judging from the rest of the book of Acts, we have to presume that somewhere in there was a conviction of sin. There was a conviction that she had done what was wrong in the eyes of God, and she was someone who needed forgiveness. We have to presume that she responded to the cross of the Lord Jesus, that as Paul spoke to her about the Lord Jesus who was crucified and raised to life, that she realized that was something for her, that the Lord Jesus had died for her sin, that she might be forgiven. Before Jesus, well, she may not have even heard of Jesus, but before she would not have made sense of that. It would not have clicked. It just would have been bouncing off a brick wall. But at the moment that the Lord opens her heart, it clicks into place. And she says, yes, Jesus is who he says he is. And he died on a cross so that I might be forgiven for my sin. It became a me moment, a my moment, where it made sense to her. And Jesus alone is the one who can open hearts. Now, what are we to do with that? What are we to do with that truth? Well, first of all, can I say that it must humble us, mustn't it? It must humble us, first of all, because our belief is not because we are cleverer than others. There are people wandering around in the park out there. Don't look over there. Sorry to distract you. But there are people wandering around in the park out there, and we are not cleverer than them because we believe this message. We are in here because the Lord Jesus has opened our hearts to believe the message. And so we must be thankful to Jesus. It humbles us. For some of us this evening, hearing that the only way our heart will be opened is if Jesus does it, will be to get down on our knees and say to Jesus, Jesus, please open my heart. I've been listening to this message for years and it doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't seem to impact me at all. Lord Jesus, please open my heart. I also want to suggest that it liberates you this week to speak about Jesus. It sets you free to go and talk as freely as you want about Jesus. Now let me try and explain why. It sets you free because one of the things I think that stops most of us talking about Jesus is that we think we're not going to do it very well. Or we think we haven't got the right way of explaining it. Or we can't draw the 6 clever pictures that explain the gospel. But it sets you free because it doesn't depend on you for someone to become a Christian. It depends purely on the Lord Jesus. Yes, he will use you, but it doesn't depend on you. He will use you to speak. And yes, we're to speak what's true and we're to speak what's right, but it depends only on solely on Jesus opening their hearts. So you're set free this week to open your mouth, to speak to as many people as you can, because it's the Lord Jesus who will open hearts. And I think most importantly, and this is the way it's helped me most again this week, is it helps us to pray for others. It helps us to pray. Lord Jesus, I long for person X, who I love, to have a Lydia moment where the Lord Jesus opens her heart to believe the message that they've heard so many times. We must pray. And this passage encourages us. It encourages us that, you know, who is it that Jesus opens the hearts of? What sort of people can he open the hearts of? Again, it encourages us because Philippi is like Enfield. And here you see Lydia. And I'm encouraged because Lydia is rich and comfortable. And okay, yes, there are some poor people in Enfield, but the majority of people, I guess, we mix shoulders, rub shoulders with each day, are rich and comfortable. And if Jesus can open the heart of Lydia, who deals in purple cloth and has got a big house and she's got pretty much everything that you think she would need, the Lord Jesus can open her heart. If he can do it for her, then he can do it for the people of Enfield that we mix with. I'm encouraged by that. And one of the other things I'm encouraged by as we think about this heart-opening work of Jesus is that he can save people who from other religions. Now, again, I'm pushing it slightly because she may have been a Jewess. She may have been someone who worshipped the God of the Old Testament. But the point is she worships another God. And we mix shoulders, don't we, with people who from the Muslim faith or who are Hindus. All sorts of people in Enfield that we mix with. And I confess this, really, that sometimes I speak to people from other religions and you feel like this kind of force shield goes up. You know, you're entering into this religious battle where you're going to talk about Jesus and they're going to put their force shield up and they're going to not believe you. And actually, you end up entering these conversations thinking, well, this is going nowhere. But actually, the heart-opening work of Jesus can even save people from other religions. That's an encouragement, isn't it? It's an encouragement to open our mouths this week, just as Paul did, and get speaking to people. And then thirdly, as we look through this story of the heart-opening work of Jesus, there's something else that happens as Jesus opens heart, and that's those with open hearts, where they open their life for Jesus to use. As our Lord Jesus opens the hearts of Lydia, she then opens her life up, or he opens her life up, for use by Jesus and for Jesus. What before was closed, not just her heart, but her life, it was hers, and she did what she wanted with it, is now open. And she says to Jesus, here it is. Here is my life. Take it. Use it. Now, it's not uncommon. Wow, that's some heavy rain. Everyone's looking over there. That's what I'm commenting. It's not uncommon, is it, to hear people who've had surgery or even open heart surgery after their surgery to say things like, "Oh, you know, I've got a fresh lease of life. You know, everything's changed. You know, I've got a new energy," and all those kind of things. And I want to suggest this evening that in a similar way to someone who's had heart surgery, physical heart surgery, there's a kind of a fresh lease of life. There's a fresh change afterwards. So it is when Jesus does the heart surgery of opening our hearts. There's change that follows. There's after effects, as it were. And some of those after effects we see in the life of Lydia. So first of all, I want to suggest she opened her mouth. That's an after effect. As the Lord Jesus opened her heart to believe the gospel of Jesus, she then goes home. Look at verse 15. We read that her household was baptized. And I can only presume that as her family, she went home, she must have, you know, she's had that Sabbath, she was sitting by the river or whatever it was, and she was there and she had this heart-open experience and she went home and she told her household. And they would have been big households, slaves and family members. And she must have opened her mouth to speak about Jesus. She must have spoken about what she'd come to believe. And isn't it, then we loop back to the start where Jesus puts those with open hearts and they open their mouths and they speak to people with closed hearts and then the Lord Jesus opens their hearts. She opened her mouth. Because that's one of the after effects of having our hearts opened. And so let me ask you, have you got an open mouth? Have you got an open mouth? Are you speaking to others about Jesus? One of the other after effects is that she obeyed. She obeyed the Lord Jesus, where before she was closed, where one of the marks of her sin was that she didn't want anything to do with the commands and instructions of Jesus, now she obeys him. So have a look down at verse 15 again. She and her household were baptized. That's obedience to an instruction of the Lord Jesus, who says that when you believe the message of me and my salvation and you've received my forgiveness, then be baptized. And she did. And I guess if we'd had the chance to hang around Lydia for a while and see what was going on in her life, we would see that that obedience mapped itself out into other areas too. One of the after effects of an open heart is that she wanted to obey. She opened her life up and she said, Jesus, I'll do what you say. And so let me ask you, are you obedient to Jesus? Have you been obedient in baptism? Are you obedient in your relationships? Are you obedient to his words? We also see that she served. That's another after effect of having her heart open. The Lord Jesus opens her heart and then she opens up her time and her stuff. And she says, Jesus, here it is. You can use it. In this case, her open heart led to an open home. And Lydia opened her home to Paul and his companions. And if you read on in the chapter, it must have been a big house, but she had the church to meet there as well. She said, Jesus, here's my house. Use it. And so let me ask you, are you using your home if you have one? Are you serving? Are you allowing Jesus to take and use what he's given you to serve him and to serve others? And finally, she wanted to learn. She wanted to learn. Now, I may have this wrong, but at the end of verse 15, she is urging the apostles, Paul and his companions, to stay at her house. She's saying, please stay. Now, that may have been a cultural thing. It may have been the way that they did it, but I'm not quite convinced because it's very strong. And it only appears one other time, the end of verse 15, and she persuaded us. The only other time that word is used in the New Testament is when the two disciples on the road to Emmaus urged Jesus to stay with them because they wanted to listen to him. They wanted him to keep on talking. Their hearts were burning and they wanted to hear Jesus. And someone whose heart's been opened by Jesus then wants Jesus to teach them. They want to learn. They're hungry to learn. And so let me ask you, are you hungry to learn from Jesus? Or are you a clock watcher? Do you sit in a Bible study and you think, oh, I can't wait for this to be over? Or do you sit in a sermon and think, oh, it's a bit long now, isn't it? Or are you thinking, no, I want to learn from Jesus. I want to learn from him. He's opened my heart and I want to know what he says. I want to know what I should be doing. I want to know his way. I want to know about our future. Jesus, I want to learn. She knew that if she had Paul with her, she would learn from Jesus because he was an apostle. And how do we have the apostles' teaching today? We have it in the Word of God, the Bible. Are we hungry to learn? As our Lord Jesus opened the heart of Lydia, he then opened her life to be used by him. What about you? Becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus to open our closed hearts to believe the gospel. And this evening, if you're here and you're not a Christian, can I say to that may raise all sorts of questions for you, and we'd love you to stay for a cup of coffee, and we'd love to answer some of those questions for you. For some of you guys, perhaps this evening, you'll want to be those who say to Jesus, Jesus, please open my heart to believe this message, to believe the message that you died and that you rose again, that I might be forgiven. And for those of us who are Christians, for those of us whose hearts have been opened, then let's be those this week who thank Jesus for that. Be humble about it. It's all of him. And let's be those who open our mouths to speak about Jesus. And let's be those who open our lives to serve Jesus. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, many of us in this room, first of all, want to say thank you for the heart-opening work of our Lord Jesus. We would still be those whose hearts are bricked up and firmly closed if it were not for what Jesus had done in our lives. And we want to thank you. We want to thank you that you've given us hearts to believe. And Father, we also want to be those who pray tonight for those we know whose hearts as yet are not open to believing the message. We pray for the many that we know who we've shared the gospel with over and over again, and it feels like it's bouncing off of a brick wall. Lord Jesus, please, in your mercy, open their hearts. And please, would you help us with open hearts to be those whose lives are open for use by Jesus. May we serve him. May we obey him. May we be those who open up our lives to serve him in every way we can. And may we be those who speak to others freely this week about Jesus. Father, we confess we find it hard to speak. Forgive us and give us open mouths. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.